Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4, please. Esther chapter 4, verse number 16. You'll find the outline of this evening's study within your Metro newsletter and prayer list if you'd like to follow along. I'd like to resume, as of this evening, our Bible survey series, and we're up to the book of Esther, which I believe has a very important lesson for us at this time. Esther chapter 4, verse number 16, it reads, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night nor day. And I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we ask now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord God, teach us from your precious word this evening. Prepare our hearts for prayer as we desire to intercede one for another. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The book of Esther reminds us of the fact that God is in control. Always in the present, God is in control. We like to be in control of our circumstances, but life at times gets out of control. But God is always in control. And this is a wonderful truth that is taught within the story here within the book of Esther. Now, the book of Esther rests between the events of chapter 6 and chapter 7 of the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra and Nehemiah deal with Israel returning to Jerusalem. At least a remnant returning to Jerusalem in order to build the temple, and then the rebuilding of the wall took place after that event. So the events here recorded in the book of Esther find their place between chapter 6 and chapter 7 of the book of Ezra. The story takes place in Shushan, the capital of Persia. And this book well illustrates for us the doctrine of God's providence. That is, God is in control of all. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, the Bible teaches us that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turneth it as he wills. Think about the word providence, pro, before, vid, video, to see. Providence is God directing, providing, protecting and leading even people who refuse to be led. And as you read through the book of Esther, you will find the hand of God within every single chapter. Though his name is not mentioned, God is ever present. Now let's note the main theme of the book. The main theme of the book of Esther, it involves the preservation of the Jewish people from extinction. The preservation of the Jewish people from extinction by the hand of Haman. And here in Esther chapter 4, verse number 16, Esther said, "If I perish, I perish." She called for the people of God to fast and pray for 3 days. And she made a commitment to go into the presence of the king in order to advocate or intercede on the behalf of God's people. So Esther chapter 4 verse 16 is the key verse of this book. And it's connected to chapter 4, verse number 14, where Mordecai said to Esther at the end of verse number 14, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" The Lord Jesus within the book of Esther is portrayed as our advocate. In the book of 1 John, it talks about the Lord Jesus being our advocate. Let's take a few moments and note the outline of this book, the main events within this book. In chapters 1 and 2, we have the selection of Esther as queen. In chapter 1, it deals with the king removing Vashti, the current queen, because of her disrespect for him, her unwillingness to come and be showcased before his friends at this huge banquet that he chose to host. And then we move into Esther chapter 2, and we see the king chooses Esther to be the next queen of Persia. Note then chapter 2, please, verse number 17. The Bible reads, "And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in the sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti." Esther's a Jewish girl, and in God's providence, she becomes the next queen of Persia in God's providence. So that's chapters 1 and 2, the selection of Esther as queen. The king removes Vashti, chapter 1, verse number 19, and we see here in chapter 2, the king chooses Esther as the new queen. And then we move into the next main section within the book of Esther, from chapters 3 to 7. And here we have the satanic Haman is introduced. The satanic Haman is introduced. In chapter 3, we note Haman's craftiness in wanting God's people destroyed. And it all stems back to chapter 3, verse number 5. Note there in verse number 5 of chapter 3, "When Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath." Then note then verse number 13, because this so upset Haman, that is Mordecai, a Jew, would not bow down and honor him as a god, because that was contrary to his beliefs, it absolutely enraged Haman to the point that he wanted all of the Jews to be killed. Note then verse number 13, please, of chapter 3. "And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, to take the spoil of them for a prey." So Haman used his authority within the Persian Empire to order the destruction of God's people on a particular day. And the king has consented to Haman's wish. And then we move into chapter 4 of Esther, and we see Mordecai's concern. Esther was adopted by Mordecai as his own daughter. Esther was a child of Mordecai's uncle, the Bible teaches us. And note here in chapter 4, verse number 1, "When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. To say that Mordecai was concerned is an understatement. He could see and he knows for a fact that Haman has determined the death of his own people, and this was obviously very, very upsetting to him. So he appeals to Esther. Note then chapter 4, verse number 12. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. And note then verse number 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." So Mordecai said to Esther, "Esther, you are a Jew. Do you think you will escape the destruction of the Jews?" "I don't think so. I don't think so." So Mordecai is troubled. He is very concerned about Haman's plot to destroy the people of God. And here in chapter 4, as we read on, Mordecai made it clear to Esther that thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. In other words, Mordecai said to Esther, "It's no coincidence that you are the queen of Persia. It's not a coincidence. It's not good luck. Thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." And with that, Esther said to Mordecai, "Gather the people of God, have them pray and fast for 3 days, and I will go into the presence of the king, uncalled for, and if I perish, I perish." So Esther plans a banquet. And in this banquet, in chapter 5, she invites the king and she invites Haman to this banquet. Note there in chapter 5, verse number 4. So we see from chapters 5 to 7, Esther's courage. She makes a commitment at the end of chapter 4, "If I perish, I perish. I'm prepared to die for my people. So while I seek to intercede on the behalf of my people, encourage the people of God to fast and pray, please, for 3 days and 3 nights." Note here in chapter 5, verse number 4, "And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, that the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him." So what Esther does, she plans a banquet, and no doubt at this banquet she's going to seek an opportunity to appeal to the king on the behalf of her people. And then we move into chapter 6, and something very interesting takes place. We note that the king isn't able to sleep. Note there in chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, that they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthanah and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honour and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." So providentially, God awakens the king. He can't sleep. So what he does, he calls for the records. The Persians were very meticulous in keeping a record of everything that took place. And providentially, they read to him the account of Mordecai. It's actually recorded in chapter 2, verses 19 to 23. There was a plot to kill the king, but Mordecai unfoiled the plot, and a record was made of this event, yet he was yet to be rewarded in any way for this event. And it so happens that the king is hearing this account of how his life was spared because of Mordecai, the Jew. And the king asked the question to his servants, has this man been rewarded for his dignity? Has this man received honor and dignity for what he has done? And the servants said, nothing has been done until this time. And then we read on in chapter 6 of the book of Esther that Mordecai is honored. And providentially, Haman is instructed by the king to be the one to honor or to pass on honor to Mordecai. Which is amazing when you think of the fact that Haman despised Mordecai to no end. Haman actually thought that he was being honored. Note then chapter 6 verses 7 to 8. And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighted to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. Then verse 10 reads, then the king said to Haman, make haste, take the apparel and the horse as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew. Could you imagine Haman at this point? His heart must have sunk. Even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate, let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. So here in chapter 6, we see that Mordecai receives his belated honor for saving the king's life. Haman's not impressed. He is not impressed. And now we move into chapter 7. Esther informs the king of Haman's plot. Note here in chapter 7, verses 4 to 6. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, to perish. But if we have been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he? Where is he that does presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. So Esther informs the king of Haman's plot to destroy her people. Esther found favor in the sight of the king. If you note there in chapter 7, verse number 3, then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. Well, the king was surprised and the king was enraged, the Bible teaches us, with Haman. And then in chapter 7, verse number 10, the Bible reads, so they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Haman so despised Mordecai that he built a hanging post specifically for him. And the king ordered Haman's hanging on that very same post. And at the end of verse number 10, it reads, then was the king's wrath pacified. What a wonderful turnaround of events. At one point, it seemed like God's people had no hope. But God in his providence enabled a young, attractive Jewish woman to become the next queen of Persia. Was that a coincidence? No, that was the providence of God. And what about Mordecai, who had just done right? He could see these two men plotting to kill the king of Persia. And he did the right thing. He informed Esther Esther addressed the issue. And in God's providence, at the right and appropriate time, the king arises out of his sleep. He can't sleep, so he begins to read the record of how he was spared. And he asked the simple question, was that man Mordecai honored? No, not as yet, he was told. So he honors him. So Esther has a place of prominence as the queen of Persia. Mordecai has a place of honor and dignity. And the courage of Esther to go before the king and to plead on the behalf of the Jewish people was amazing when you consider the fact that it was given law that you did not enter into the king's presence at your will. You had to be invited. Anybody that would attempt to appeal to the king at their own will would risk their own life. And that's why Esther said, if I perish, I perish. She was prepared to die on the behalf of her people. She knew that she had as much hope as she had the most amount of hope of ever salvaging her people from the hand of Haman. And God miraculously intervened. God softened the heart of King Ahasuerus. And when she shared the fact, there is one that is out to plot and kill my people, the king was enraged. Esther courageously said, this adversary is a man by the name of Haman, one of your chief men. And the king had him hanged and dealt with. And this leads us into chapters 8 to 10, the salvation of Israel. Chapters 1 and 2, the selection of Esther as queen. Chapters 3 to 7, the satanic Haman. And here in chapters 8 to 10, the salvation of Israel. The king makes a decree to revoke the killing of the Jewish people. And we see that in chapter 8, verses 5 and 13. The king makes a decree to revoke this law to kill the Jewish people. And then we see in chapter 9 that the Jewish people are exalted to the point that many people within the Persian Empire become Jews. Note there in chapter 8, verse 17, they turn to Judaism. The Bible reads, in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. And note there in chapter 9, verse number 3, and all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. So we see in chapter 8 that the king makes a new decree to revoke the killing of the Jews. And we see in chapter 9 the Jewish people are exalted. They are honored because of Mordecai. Because of what he did for the king. The fear of the Jews fell upon them, the Bible teaches us. And then we move into chapter 10 and we see that Mordecai is elevated to a position of prime minister, the equivalent of being a prime minister. Note there in chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, and all the acts of his power and his might and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him. Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of the Medes and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was next unto the king Ahasuerus. Do you catch that? Next unto king Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews. and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed. So Mordecai's new elevation to a position of great authority next to the king. Mordecai, a Jew. That's the providence of God, church family. See, God is in control. God's name is not mentioned in the 10 chapters. You won't read of the name of God in the 10 chapters, but God is all over this book. God is all over this book. God is divine controller of all. He cares, he watches over his people and world events. We don't need to take control, for God is always in control. A life of faith lives with this in mind. The book doesn't mention God, yet his presence is evident. See, Israel was living a secular life, yet they were still in the presence and providential care of the sacred God. So, beloved, let me encourage you this evening as we go to prayer. God is in control. God is in control of your life. God is in control of my life. God is in control of Australia. God is in control of the world. God is in control. And if you doubt that for a moment, let me encourage you to go back to the book of Esther and just see how different events took place. Initially, didn't make much sense. Doesn't make much sense. But then when you read the end of the book, you can see why God, in his providence, allowed Esther to be queen. You can see why God, in his providence, allowed Mordecai to note the attempted assassination of the king. You can see the hand of God caring, looking after, protecting his people. And beloved, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing has changed. God is still in control. So let's trust him. Let's walk by faith. Let's keep our eyes upon the author and finisher of our faith, because our God is in control. So let me encourage you to read through the book of Esther and be encouraged and just read the full story, how God worked in order to preserve the nation of Israel. And this was such a memorable event that the Jewish people, even to this day, have a feast which is held annually to remember their deliverance from the hand of Haman. It's called the Feast of Purim. And I'm told that when Jewish men go into the temple, each time that name Haman is mentioned, the men stomp their feet. Every time the name is mentioned, the men stomp their feet. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, beloved. Let's trust him. God is in control. And all things do work together for good. Yes, they do. Even with COVID-19, God is still on the throne, and all things do work together for good. Let's trust him, resting in that very fact. Heavenly Father, we pray, as we've been reminded of the fact that you are in control. You are a sovereign God. You are a God of providence. Thank you for reminding us of that fact within this wonderful book, the book of Esther. So Lord God, encourage us, renew our faith to trust you, knowing that you are in control, and all things do work together for good to them that love God. We ask now that you'd guide us and lead us as we go to prayer, being mindful that you are sovereign and you are the God of providence. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.